Welcome, 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 family. Before we get started in today's episode, my mentor, my friend and buddy Phil is hosting for federal workers that were laid off a boot camp on March 10th through the 14th. Again, March 10th through the 14th. I put the actual link for you guys to check that out. So please go check that and you know, support my mentor and friend. I really think it'd be some good, I know it's going to be some great and amazing training. So I think it'd definitely be worth it. Okay, with no further ado, we're going to jump into what you came here for, which is today's episode, project managers. Do you know where your time is really going? Let's be honest. Why do some PMs deliver on time while others, let's just say, struggle? If you don't eliminate these time wasting traps, your project, I promise you, I'm willing to bet on it, is already at risk. See, I remember, family, if you don't mind me tell you a quick short story, is that I remember the first time that I understood and learned about these things called time wasters. See, again, you know, a lot of times when you step into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, you may take over projects. And when you take over projects, you get a chance to really see how that other project manager before you performed. And what happened is there's a lack of knowledge of transfer, or there's no documentation. And I got this project super excited because it was something I've been wanting to do for a while, which was get into more of the networking side of infrastructure. And I got, when I looked at the documentation, there was a half done project charter, the project plan, and the project schedule. I mean, there was nothing there for me to figure out. So I spent the majority of my time trying to put these pieces together to figure out the stakeholders that were supposed to be part of the meetings, that weren't supposed to be part of the meeting, the project team that was supposed to be part of. You kind of get my drift of where I'm going. So the point I'm trying to say, family, what leads me into point number one, lack of knowledge transfer and documentation. See, when knowledge isn't shared, new team members and well as project manager struggle to onboard and continue work. You probably say, well, why is this important, ED? See, missing documentation, first of all, it caused delays. And most of all, it creates confusion and a lot of rework, because I don't know where the documentation in it is. And if it's already been done, then I'm basically duplicating things that have already been done. And the project team and stakeholders, they're frustrated because they're like, dang, we got to go through this again. We spent days, you know, putting together the project management plan, or we spent days or weeks building out a proper project schedule. Here's my actionable tip. Maintain your SOPs. What is that? Standard operating procedures. And my favorite thing, knowledge repository. This can be on your, on your SharePoint. It can be wherever. I recommend putting it in a cloud environment. And I also recommend putting some type of, you know, password or something there for sensitive documentations. Point number two, not holding team members accountable. You know, when accountability is unclear, work gets delayed. And this is important because a lack of ownership reduces efficiency as well as the team's commitment. And this falters the project. This interrupts the project's success. Here's my actionable tip. Implement weekly check-ins and performance dashboards to track responsibilities. If a team member says, hey, I'm going to deliver this on X date, first of all, you want to give them grace and give them an opportunity to deliver that day. What I normally do, if a project team member says, hey, I'll get you that on a particular day, at the end of the business day, if I don't get anything, I'm following up in the morning and say, hey, I didn't receive the information you're going that you said you were going to deliver. And I keep a mental note. I keep a mental note because if they did that to me, you know, that time, if it's something bigger that I'm going to need, I know that I'm going to have to follow up and constantly follow up and do something I don't like doing, which is called micromanaging. So that's why it's important to implement these weekly check-ins, as well as having a performance dashboard to check responsibilities. the track responsibilities, unnecessary reporting. Man, I can tell you story after story, but I won't bore you. I'll save that for another day. But unnecessary reporting, you know the motto here. Documentation beats what? Documentation always beats conversation. But that is the conjunction here. Excessive documentation slows down progress. And I know I got some geniuses that are going to try to attack me and say, well, you say documentation beats conversation, then what is excessive documentation? Great question. I'm so glad you asked. Excessive documentation is doing the same document over and over, expecting different results. Okay, maybe I've heard that somewhere. No, seriously, family, a lot of times what will happen is that you'll create a project charter, and I've seen this, you're not supposed to do this. Someone will get a project charter, get it signed off, because a project charter authorizes the project manager. So we'll get it signed off by the sponsor, and the project team wants to go back and create another project charter. No. That phase has been closed. This is a outline. See, I think of a project charter as the outline of what we're hoping for, what we can expect. Now we get into the planning aspect of things, and then you start building out your project management plan with all of the required artifacts. See, too much reporting, really wastes time when we need to be executing. And so what I normally do when I notice that is so much reporting, because I've been in situations where I'm reporting to this team and I'm reporting to that team. And I said, wait a minute, hold on. How about we all get together and I'll just deliver it in one punch? This way, I can make sure that if you have anything that's, technical that I may not be able to answer, I can bring the team member there. And then at that point, then they can move on. So it's just one main meeting where we're delivering the outcomes of what we said we were going to deliver. Here's my actionable tip. We always want to focus on KPIs, key performance indicators, and automate reporting when possible. Family, again, as you guys know, have two books. You want to just check them out, The Magnetic Project Manager and The 8 Insights for Real World Project. Again, my mentor, friend, buddy is Phil. He is hosting federal workers and laid off personnel from March 10th to the 14th. This is going to be a free, can I say it again? F-R-E-E boot camp. So check out the link. Please go sign up. It will be the 10th through the 14th. Let's get back to the conversation. Failing to learn from mistakes. Point number four. When you start repeating mistakes, it starts causing inefficiencies in present as well as in future projects. See, this is important. Why this is important? Because continuous improvement ensures long-term project success. This is why my actionable tip for you is conduct postmortems. What are postmortems? In the military, they call them, AAR, after action reports. And so after action reports are basically what they're doing is looking, hey, what went well? What could we have done better? And just basically what was a complete disaster? And see what this does, a lot of people don't like to go into these type of details because they feel like, oh, you're pointing fingers. No, I'm not pointing fingers. We're trying to make sure that the mistakes that we've done on this project, that we won't do it on a future project if we all end up working together or if I work with one or two of you guys. So you also want to capture lessons learned. So postmortem and lessons learned, they're definitely about the same thing. And then you want to take the best practices and watch this, family, and experiment with the next project you're going on. You see, I use the word experiment because the project, we know a project is unique endeavor. So what worked on the last project or what you could have done on the last project may not apply to the new project. So you need to experiment to see if it is going to work. Point number five. Overloading project schedules. I understand project managers, especially my new project managers or people that are thinking about getting into project management. You want to shine. You want to look good. But let me be honest with you. Unrealistic deadlines leads to stress, missed milestones, and most of all, which is frustrating to a team as well as the stakeholders, is project rework. Why is this important? See, overburdening a team burns them out, which reduces the quality as well as the efficiency. Here's my actionable tip. Build buffer times in your schedule and use a CPM, which basically is a critical path method. You can use Microsoft Project for that to understand your critical path. And this helps you identify high priority tasks. Point number six, not using project management software efficiency. Now, let me say this. I believe project management software is a key component to a project manager's success. Now, here's the contradiction. If you don't have that, then you are going to have to rely on spreadsheets and emails, which is not the most fun thing to do, but I want to be upfront and transparent with you that if you run into that, that you have to find a way, how can I automate this? Or how can I make sure nothing is getting missed? Because a lot of times what happens when an organization makes the decision not to get any project management software, relying on emails and spreadsheets or any outdated method can slow down the progress because you spend more time manually updating your spreadsheets or manually sending emails. And what can happen is you may miss something during the way versus when it's being automated, you can periodically check in. Now, again, I've done both where I didn't have any software and I had to use Excel for my schedule, or I had to use, Word documents to build out my project management plan and then emails to follow up. Now there's like smart sheets where it automatically can send an email to let the person know, hey, this particular task is coming up or has been assigned to you. So those type of tools automate that for you. So all you're doing is holding, people accountable. See, this is important, family, because being disorganized, tracking results, you will miss deadlines and misallocate resources. I've done that before by going through the manual process. Here's my actual tip. Use tools or softwares like Jira, Asana, Trello. What's another good one? Monday.com, Smartsheets, Microsoft Project. Things that allow you to track tasks and centralize project updates. Point number seven. Delayed decision making. See, when decisions take too long, work remains stalled, which creates and causes backlogs. See, this is important because delayed decisions, again, it will impact your timeline and your team will start creating an uncertainty. And then the momentum of the project, it will just take a dead stop. Here's my actionable tip. Set deadlines using a RAPID framework. A RAPID framework, that the acronym for RAPID is recommend, agree, perform, input, and decide. See, outlines like this provide more detailed process for decision making, including who provided the input, who recommended, and who ultimately decide. I also use a RAID log, which is risk, action items, issues, decisions, and I'll say the RAID Q and questions, because you want to capture all of this information. Or you can use a framework like DACI, driver, approver, contributor, and I think the last one is inform. See, this focuses on identifying key and individual responsible for driving the decision. And family, most of all, escalate unresolved decisions quickly. But my thing is, If you have not already provided a solution or attempted to provide a solution, don't escalate, because the first thing the person is going to do, I know if you escalate to me, I want to know what you've already done because I don't want to repeat what you've already done. Point number eight, poor communication and misalignment. That should have been number one, family, but I figured that if I kept you a little bit longer, maybe you enjoy me a little bit longer. But anyway, I digress. Misinterpretation, unclear messaging, and excessive email chains lead to wasted effort. You know what frustrates me? You mind if I vent a little bit? I apologize. What frustrates me a lot of times is that somebody will send an email when it would be easier just to pick up the phone. And I get it, because I'm big on documentation beats conversation, but we can always document the conversation afterwards. But they'll send an email and they'll sit there and wait for it to wait for a response, and they'll let a day go by. Sometimes they'll let two or three days go by, and then they're mad because they're like, well, this person didn't respond to me. Of course, have you seen that person's inbox? Pick up the phone, give them a call. Okay, I'm off my rant. This is important because, again, poor communication, again, always causes rework, delays, as well as frustrating project team members and stakeholders. My actionable tip is standardize communication channels. Use collaboration tools, family, like a Slack, your Microsoft Teams, Asana. You want to ensure clarity in all project updates. Well, family, if you stay with me this long, first of all, I appreciate you. Here's my final thoughts that I hope that you'll think about it today. I'll give you till tonight to make a decision, but I want you to take action. See, project management success is not about always staying busy. It's about staying effective. The key word is being effective. See, time is your most valuable resource. And how to manage it, it really determines the success or failure of your project. Here's the truth. I'm not even going to lie to you. See, wasted time is just a minor inconvenience. It's a silent killer of productivity, team morale, stakeholder confidence, and it really helps you get into a situation where you have to learn how to avoid this biggest pitfall. So you want to focus on these three critical areas. Lack of knowledge, transfer, and documentation, what we talked about. See, if key information lives only in people's heads, your project will suffer. Here's my actionable tip. Create structured documentation like we talked about, decentralizing repository, your SOPs to ensure knowledge is not lost. Number two, hold team members accountable for what they said they were going to do. A project without accountability is like a ship without a captain, and you are the captain of that ship. So my actionable tip is set clear expectations, track, I'm getting excited, track those expectations or that progress and ensure ownership so that deadline don't slip through the cracks. My last one is poor communication and misalignment. The number one cause of wasted time, we all know, is miscommunication. So clarity eliminates confusion. My actionable tip is use structure updates, collaboration tools, and concise messaging to keep your team members alive. And I'm just going to throw in another one. Now ask yourself, which of these are you guilty of? More importantly, what are you doing about it today? So success starts with action. Take control to eliminate these time wasters and lead your project with confidence. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks, hey, that just simply means Ed. Oh, we got some comments here. I appreciate you. I apologize. I was just in my zone. What's going on, MIB? Appreciate you stopping by. We got Prince Black. Hello, sir, to you. Let me see what he's asking. Is it worth taking the CAPM Change Management Agile Foundation and Agile Practice at the same time? Please let me know. I recommend taking the CAPM and the Agile Foundation and Agile Practitioner. I could say you or CAPM and Agile Practitioner. I say you could probably take those at the same time. And let me explain my reason why. The reason why is because the CAPM and Agile, there's Agile in the CAPM exam. And so it makes sense. Now the change management, I would wait I would wait until after I get the certification. And after I get my CAPM certification, as well as my ACP, because I think that's what you're referring to, the Agile Practitioner, ACP, because that will help you have more success when it comes to change management. But change management, I would wait until I got those two, because the CAPM alone is going to take you a lot of time, some time to really understand the context of, you know, what is being asked. But Agile and CAPM, they're really so much aligned, because now Agile is part of the CAPM exam. So I hope that answers your question. If not, you know, let me know. I also want to do something for you guys real special. I just want to host a live where people come on and ask questions like Prince Black did, because I think it would be valuable for you guys in the long term. Because this is an excellent question, because I struggled with that when I was going after my CAPM. I want to do my CAPM. I was looking at another certification, and I was like, but once you start getting to that CAPM material, you're like, okay, let me focus on this. But at that time, they didn't have the ACP when I took my CAPM. So if they would have, I probably would have done both, because they both align together. So excellent question. I really appreciate that. All right. With no further ado, family, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.